All right. Jesus preached something called the law of the kingdom. The law of the kingdom. And he was mainly talking about a law we call sowing and reaping. Now, the enemy had set up his own system, economic system, and it's still in the earth. It's a Babylonian system. But Jesus came to teach how to live independent of that system. All right? And when he set up here, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or else you'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the God of money. Mammon. Can't serve him. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. For is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. So he starts talking about birds. And you've never seen a bird sitting on a post worrying about something. He's just up there singing. Because he knows he's going to get him something to eat. Are you following what I'm saying? That's a revelation, isn't it? When you're down to your last, you're supposed to sing. Because you know you're going to get something to eat. God's going to take care of you. Look at verse 28. I'll come on down. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, underline that, neither do they spin, pardon me. And yet your heavenly Father, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye, what? Of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, that should be anxious thought, right? Thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, so Jesus was teaching God's way of doing things. So as he got, once Jesus finishes teaching, he starts to demonstrate. It's like he never lets the word cool off. He wants immediately somebody to act on that word. Now, if you go to John chapter 6, you'll see here where he started verse 5 saying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. He said, now where can we buy bread that these may eat? And he said to prove him, he said to prove him because he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about how many thousand? 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples of them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, now gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And they gathered together and filled 12 baskets full of fragments over and above. Here are the 3 points to this law. 1, God is your source. God is your source. If God is not your source, this doesn't work. Put up Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Put it up. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Let me reread that for you. Cursed be the man whose God is not his source. So if God is not your source, right away the curse is still working. And that's most of the population. Okay. It was never meant that you exist in this earth without God. Remember what Babylon tries to do. The system of Babylon is a society trying to meet its needs without God. No wonder it's got so many problems. So God never intended for you to unhook from him. When Adam unhooked from him is because Adam now is cursed. But now you're hooked back with him. You and God are one, not two. You are one. You're one spirit with him. That's what the Bible says. So when you look to somebody else as your source, the curse is still working. This won't work. This right here that I'm reading right here, this doesn't work. Y'all looking at me like a calf with a new gate. This right here won't work. Got it? You got to see him not only as your source, but as your only source. Or that won't work, because that only works by faith. O ye of little faith. Faith only works when God is your only source. Okay? Number one, God must be your source. Number two, now this is the way I got God as my source. I meditated Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my need. Notice what that did. Inside of me, I put an image of God as my supply. No longer was I looking to people. I thank God for you, but you are not my source. And do you know God likes you to say that? Remember Abraham when Sodom, the king of Sodom, tried to come up to him and said, now you take the goods and give the people to me. Abraham said, hey, let no man say that he made Abraham rich, but Almighty God. Remember when he said that? Sure. He said, I lift up my hand to the Lord. That's just like you coming into a courtroom and putting your hand on the Bible and stating an oath, swearing an oath. So God is my source. And I never change from that. So that's why I hear God clearly. Because he's my only source. And people turn, yeah, well, I heard God. I know he told me that so forth. I said, God didn't tell you that. And see, if you look in their background and look at their thing, somebody else is supporting them. It ain't God. Oh, Shabbat down, because I'm preaching good now. I'm just trying to preach this thing. You know, I'm going to get rid of all this religious spirit. This thing got to go, man. This has got to go. Remember God talking about my partners. He said, why do you think you have them partners? He said, the first reason you got those partners is so you can enrich their lives. Next one. That's number one. Number two, give. Let's put it up there, Luke 6:38, because I want to change the word and just show you how I changed the word. Luke 6:38. Come on. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Look what it says here. Give, and it shall be given unto you. I'd like you to add a word for clarity so you'll know exactly what that's talking about. Give, that it shall be given unto you. Put that in there, and it'll clear it up for you. Why? Because God's got it in his hand right now, ready to give it to you. He said, come on, ready for it? Come on, give me something now. Give me something so I can give it to you. Let me go over here. Give me something so I can give it to you. That's all it is. That's all that's saying. It's like I got it ready. It's yours. I got to give it to you, but I got a law in here that says you got to sow something first. Okay? That's number two. Number three, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. God never forgets a seed. All right, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, because that's what that scripture is talking about. Ecclesiastes, Stees now, not Sticks. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Look what it says here. Cast, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after what? Many days. That's what he's talking about. After many days, it's going to come back. All right. He never forgets a seed. Remember when Jacob thought he lost Joseph? He thought Joseph was killed by a wild beast. Notice Joseph was his seed. Notice what happened. Joseph wasn't killed. He was just taken to Egypt. And in Egypt, he brought forth. And so notice they got in a reunion, and notice what happened. God reunited him with his seed. What happened when God so loved the world? What did he do? He gave. Did he expect anything back? All right. Expecting is key. Let's go to Mark and chapter 6 and show you how in expecting is so important if you're going to operate in this principle. Because religion will try to get you not to expect. How many of y'all believe I'm your pastor? All right, verse 47. Let me know when you get there. Verse 47. Look what it said in verse 47. And when the evening was come, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and he, Jesus, alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh to them doing what? Walking upon the sea, and would have what? Passed them by. I'm telling you, if you don't expect, your miracle can pass you right by. Let me show you one more with expect. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, please. 2 Kings chapter 6. Okay. Now all this is for tithing, folks. If this is not, you're not a tither, don't pay no attention. 2 Kings chapter 6. Look what it says here in verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. In other words, we need a bigger facility. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I'll go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was failing a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was what? Borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron, what? Swam. Therefore, he said, take it up to thee. Underline that, please. And he put out his hand and took it. All right. Now, let's go through that real quick. What happened? Hey, let's build a bigger facility. We got so many people coming, we need a bigger place. Okay, fine. Boom. What did he do? He borrowed an axe head. That's like borrowing money. He borrowed an axe head. That's all right so far. So he's now chopping wood and getting the wood and building the place, but the axe head falls off and goes into the water. Now, obviously, the water was deep, and they didn't have any underwater divers at that time. So the water was deep. Here he is, and he cried. Oh, it was borrowed. Now, where did he borrow it from? The only people that were making iron in that time were the Philistines. And the Philistines were making the iron. These are uncovenant people. These are the world's people. So the world was loaning folks in the church the money. And so now the church lost the money or got in debt over their head. Come on. Head. Say head. And got in debt over their head. So what happens now? It cried. I don't know about you, but when you're in debt over your head, it brings pain. I was in debt over my head before I knew all of this. And I used things like Maalox and And aspirin, so forth, to soothe the pain. Okay? Because it was trying to eat holes in my stomach. So what happened? He cried to the man of God. The man of God listened to God. He immediately took action, cut down a stick, threw the stick in the water. The stick was swimming. And all of a sudden, the axe head came off the bottom, boom, attached itself to the stick. But this is what I want to tell you. The young prophet didn't expect anything. And he had to tell the young prophet, don't look at it, grab it, man. If you don't grab a miracle, it'll walk past you. And a man said this, I'll never forget he said it, a man named Oral Roberts. He said, a miracle of your harvest passes you once a day, every day. At least once a day. I said, man, is that right? Now, what is happening? The enemy keeps us so distracted. He keeps us so unexpecting or tied up trying to get these things done and so forth, we miss our miracle. I'm telling you, if you sow a seed, it would be illegal for God not to give you a harvest. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. I like this last group because they're the most reserved people that I think we have in Chicago. Give the Lord a praise. Now, also, we have that green envelope. Remember what I'd like you to do. Believe God for $1,000 for the envelope. Pastor, I don't want to participate. That's all right. Let somebody else take it. God will do it by many or by few. But just believe God. We're going to do some things and get this bank, this storehouse.